Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 18 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back in. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline, the Greeley Tribune's Jaden Watson Fisher put together this article about UNC football players transferring. And obviously there's more to it than that. Rumors kind of rolling around this program, perhaps, that the culture is not that great surrounding Ed McCaffrey's football program. Jaden, thanks so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so let's bust into this a little bit. Obviously, we see it's the nature of college sports now. We are seeing transfers like crazy. The transfer portal, it's like the wild, wild west. Sometimes it has to do with playing time. Sometimes it's, you know, different type players don't really mesh with the coaches, whatever. But in this case, at least according to perhaps some of these parents of kids that have transferred, you're getting the sense that there's a lot more to it than that.
Oh, yeah. And I have actually connected with a couple of players since that first story was published, and a couple of other sources close to the program who have confirmed everything those parents have said. You know, I'm hearing a lot about communication issues, not being able to feel comfortable talking to the coaches, feeling like they're disrespected or they're just not wanted, which is definitely not what you want if you're trying to build a championship program.
So, Jaden, you're getting actual parents of and loved ones, as you pointed out in the story, reaching out to you, talking about, hey, you know, the reason our kids are transferring is because, you know, there's not great communication going on. I think I read one quote in there, and I don't have it right in front of me, Jaden, but one parent said something along the lines, you know, it's a shame that they have a coach that's kind of treating this more or less like a hobby.
Yeah. And, I mean, I can't speak to Ed McCaffrey's intentions. That's on him, you know? But everyone is saying the same thing. So I feel like there's got to be at least a little truth to it, you know?
So, yeah, when you start to hear a lot of parents, for sure, there is that old saying, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. You've covered this program pretty closely. Of course, you know, going out to practice and talking to coaches, talking to players. Without any of the parents talking to you, without any of that stuff, what is your assessment of the program?
And, I mean, I was uncertain in the preseason, in the offseason. I wasn't sure how this was going to go, you know? A lot of the stuff guys were saying when they were on the record, it was stuff you expected to hear almost. Even the good stuff. It felt a little too good to be true. And then just hearing comments when they're not talking to me, when they're just talking to each other, it sounded like there could potentially be issues early on, you know? You know, there didn't seem to be a whole lot of trust when it came to Ed, some of his higher-up coaches, and even administration at UNC.
We're talking to the Greeley Tribune's Jaden Watson Fisher about her story she put together about the number of transfers, 12 as of late. Some of these players, now we're hearing, you know, maybe some of these parents calling in, talking to Jaden about, the reason why. And it's not necessarily a playing time thing. However, Ed McCaffrey did put out a statement that you guys ran in this article, essentially saying, yeah, it's unfortunate that they are unhappy because of playing time. So, again, coach is more or less saying he's chalking it up to kids are upset that they're not starting or not getting more playing time.
Right. And I think that is a typical coach's line. And there might be some hurt in terms of playing time and maybe what they were expecting. I'm not going to say that's a total lie. I don't think that is. But at this point, after that 12, you know, that was on Sunday, we're up to, you know, 20 or so in the last couple of days. I don't think that is all playing time at all. That doesn't include some of the players that are in the portal and were cut before this season. It also does not include the, I believe, 14 or so graduating players that they're going to have to replace. So we're looking at roughly 40 players on their roster that they have to figure out, you know, who's going to fill their spots.
You know what, Jaden, we're kind of losing you off and on. Let's try to call her. Let's try to call her back and see if we can get a better connection. You know, unplug it, plug it back in. That's the saying. So let's see if we can get her back on. It's a juicy story. I mean, this is the day and age that we are living in. Transfers. Anytime you see this number, and again, she's saying it's more than 12. I mean, it's 20 at this point. So anytime you get those stories, when you see a big number of players leaving a program now, it's going to lead to questions. Well, she's getting parents, according to her story, she's getting parents tell her that, hey, this is what's going on. It's not about playing time. She goes into detail, and I was getting ready to ask her about this, that, you know, there's frustration with how Dylan McCaffrey was perhaps shown favoritism. The sources who spoke with the Tribune did disagree with Coach McCaffrey's statement on that, talking more and more about, they didn't like the way that Dylan McCaffrey was kind of treated as far as letting him in, keeping him in games when he was struggling, and not pulling him, trying other quarterbacks at this point. According to the Tribune, most of the concerns were not about time and money. Instead, it was the environment, lack of preparation, waning investment, secrecy, nepotism. One parent said the culture is worse now than it ever was with Ernest Collins Jr. Very interesting thoughts here. They talked about, you know, the opportunities around, again, Dylan McCaffrey. Here's a line. They allege the staff showed favoritism, and it wasn't always based on who provided the best outcome for the team. Additionally, they criticized McCaffrey's decision to play his son, graduate quarterback Dylan McCaffrey, most of the year, even during games where he lacked efficiency. Thanks, Aaron Rath, hooking us up, color commentator for the UNC Bears. Here's the list so far. Oof. So he's got 19. Some of those we expected. You know, I will say that. Some of those we did expect. I'll share that list, too, on our social media feeds. Most of the list. How are we coming on that connection over there? Are we still pretty spotty? Can she stand up on a mountain or something? Can she drive? Would that help? Drive up on a building? Is this part of it? Is this part of what we're going to be seeing now? In college sports, are we going to see transfers and then it's always going to lead to a story? Now, she's flat out going in saying, hey, it's where there's smoke, there's got to be fire. I'm still of this mindset that there's, you know, how many kids are on scholarship and on a football program? Are we in the 80s? Like, we're around 80, right? More than that, maybe? Of that group, is it fair to say there's going to be 10 to 20 even on any given year that are not going to like the situation? Bad connection. Why not going to get her? It's a bummer. So McCaffrey's statement, she goes on to list out what the statement says, that he has an open door policy and met with players who requested a meeting and returned all phone calls from players, regardless if the topic was about football. The staff encourages players to speak their mind. 63 scholarships in FCS. Okay, 63. So it's fair to say there's going to be 10 to 15 players on 63 scholarships that struggle, having a difficult time reaching her. This text from the 303, what happened to Coach Baldwin? All I'm going to say on that side, it was interesting. The first signing day that McCaffrey was a part of, we were set to have him come on the show, and instead it was Baldwin. So that's a first for me. We'd never had... I've interviewed Coach Bobo. I've interviewed CU Buffs head coaches, Steve Adazio. I've interviewed all these college coaches in the area, Ernest Collins Jr., and they always jumped on to talk about signing day. I've never been handed the coordinator instead of the head coach. And it was Baldwin that came in. He came and sat in the studio. And Baldwin, Dave Baldwin, who had a history with McCaffrey, I believe he was his receivers coach when he was in Stanford, am I right? So they had a good connection. And bringing him on was kind of what, you know, Ed McCaffrey wanted to bring him on and help him along the way. Because he knew college football. He knew the how to recruit. He knew about all that stuff. But it was before the spring game. Was it last year? I'm losing timelines. Yeah, it was. It was last year before the spring game. Like, right before the spring game. Baldwin was no more. He was not on the... I mean, it was, like, instant. I have a lot of hearsay of what happened. It's hearsay. I just don't think that they saw eye to eye. So then you bring Max McCaffrey in, and he's your offensive coordinator. There's been complaints about that. So the texter from the 303 saying it's not just players. Crazy stuff going on with this, because when McCaffrey was hired, it was like, bam. People were in love. And rightfully so. I mean, he's a fan favorite. He's a Broncos legend. What do you guys think on this? I mean, if you check out the story, obviously parents fired back on the open door policy thing. Sources again who spoke with the Tribune disagreed with that statement. The first parent that talked to the Tribune said their student athlete never met with McCaffrey, despite assistance. Nor did some of their teammates. And that's when, again, we ran what, you know, McCaffrey kind of talked about the playing time in his statement. That's where he went. That's what you heard, and I'm not comparing the two at all, so don't go there. But that is what you heard with Steve Adazio. I've tried to get a couple of players on, and we have a couple of responses. No confirmation just yet. I get it. I understand it. But we were in a really fortunate situation with CSU, with Ellison Hubbard, who happens to be a good friend of mine now. There's name dropping there for you, Jadeen. When he transferred out, we just happened to be doing this little thing called the Ellison Hubbard Show. So when he made that announcement, it was pretty easy to say, hey, can you come on and talk about it? His was playing time, but also a little bit more. He told us with CSU, he never talked to Adazio. He's like, I barely see him in the hallway. Everything I wanted or needed, I went through my defensive coordinator. Is that what's going on with UNC? And again, some parents, sounds like several, have reached out to the Tribune. Said most of the concern, and they're all anonymous here, most of the concerns weren't about playing time and money, the relative said. Instead, it was about the environment. Again, lacked preparation. On the lacked preparation side, I mean, what do you expect? I think Darren Dunn and company knew what they were getting into. You're bringing a guy that has 2 years of head coaching experience, and that's at the high school level. Yeah, he won a title, but that team he coached for, they win a lot of them. I think Jadeen could go down there and maybe even win a title. No, I'm not trying to take anything away from anybody. But I think the preparation side you expect. He's a brand new coach. Now, was it a good move to hire a guy that's never even been a positions coach in college football or the NFL? You tell me. I mean, for the marketing standpoint, nobody was going to watch Ernest Collins Jr. lose 7-8 games. Nobody was every single year, except for two. Nobody was doing it. The ticket sales were down. So they look at it and say, how do we fix it? How do we make this program actually, how do we inject life into this program? So they hire him. And I thought, there it is. That's a great marketing move. I can't speak on the football side. I think at that point, I said on this show, Steve Adazio was the better football hire. McCaffrey was the better name. I still stand by that. So I think the preparation side is to be expected. But then there's another little term in here, waning investment, secrecy, and nepotism. Some parent pointed it out and said, hey, I wish that the coach didn't treat this as a hobby or a part-time gig. The parent said, these kids deserve a coach that is truly invested in making them better on and off the field, not someone who treats this as a hobby or a part-time gig. Now, according to the Tribune, 10 UNC players transferred after Collins' first season, according to the UNC Compliance Office. Now, you got to be careful there. You have to be careful. You can't compare anything now to what happened back in the day with transfers. I mean, Jaden points out in her story, Colorado State had 24 players in the transfer portal as of Wednesday. And UNC's at 20. And I don't think anybody right now is saying the environment at CSU is bad, because they got a brand new coaching staff that seemed to be really freaking good, seemed to be really exciting. Time will tell. But that is the nature of this transfer portal life that we're in. You're going to see a lot transferring out. CU has 25, including their very best player in Jarek Broussard, who was the Pac-12 player of the year 2 years ago. So you're going to get this. This number isn't necessarily alarming to me. It's alarming that parents are saying, you know, coming out talking about this, saying there's a weird environment going on. This is not a great culture. It's a guy that treats it like a hobby. He doesn't have an open door policy. He doesn't talk to a lot of people. He doesn't talk to a lot of players. And if that's the case, yeah, you got an issue. But from my experience, and again, I'm not in. Go to practice and you can stand there and watch practice and see how it goes. But I can't get a lot of inside information that would make me lean one way or the other. I will just say this. Again, this is the nature of the beast. You're seeing it with Colorado State. I'll bet you right now. I mean, a lot of people were mad at Jay Norvell with CSU because he didn't honor the two scholarships from the Fort Collins guys. So, I mean, you're going to get it. I'll tell you right now, with Steve Adazio, and I think we all know how that went, I had one player that loved him, and I had another player that was like either or. He didn't hate him. He didn't say anything really bad. Even off the record, Ellison Hubbard and I talked, and he's, you know, just didn't communicate. Didn't have a lot of bad things, but I had another guy that said I'd freaking go to war for that guy, Scott Patchett. Both great guys. Both have entirely different opinions of Steve Adazio. Well, Brady, that's because Scott Patchett was a starter, so Adazio treated him better. George Carl once told me he didn't bother to get to know his players' names until they produced. Is that the same case with college? Brady, no, it's about the students. They need to be caring about them. Yeah, I agree in some regard, but it still is a business. And if they have players on that team that they don't think are going to contribute, yeah, I mean, they're probably going to get lost in the weeds at some point. Texter from the 808, how is Max McCaffrey's girlfriend the director of football operations? I mean, yeah, it is a family and friend situation going on with the football program. You can't deny that. Now, is that neither wrong or right? You're bringing in guys you know? Again, this is a brand new situation. Still, McCaffrey has not been a head coach. He has not coached more than three football seasons, folks. He had two high school seasons and one UNC season. They elected not to play. And as far as Christian McCaffrey's girlfriend's side, I mean, she has experience in this, right? I mean, so it's a very interesting time going in. I mean, you see former Broncos on his staff when he was in Denver. You're seeing Jimmy Spencer was a former Bronco. Yes, that is how these go. I mean, you're bringing in people you know to be on your staff. If Ed McCaffrey, his intentions, by the way, according to ESPN's Ed Werder, who went to UNC and sat down with Ed McCaffrey for a very long interview, said his intentions are to be at the next level head coaching. So I don't think just hiring your buddies just to help your son and Max and all that is really going to bode well for your future aspirations if you didn't really believe that Max and Kathleen are good at their jobs, could be good at their jobs. This is a growing program. That's the idea here, is that you are starting essentially from scratch. And again, if really bad stuff's going on, then that's unfortunate. I'm sure more will come out on this. I can't go as far as Jaden said is, you know, like, hey, where there's smoke, there's fire. It's got to be true, and that's what I'm getting. I can't go there yet because I don't personally have that sense. I had that sense with Steve Addazio because I had a player on the program in the know. I'm going to try to get some more reactions from, or responses, I should say, from players if we can get that. And there are things, you know, over the season I've picked up that, you know, there are certain players that are not being perhaps talked to, like the starters. I don't know. Is that common? That seems like it could be common. Is it right? Is it right that Steve Addazio barely talked to Ellison Hubbard? That's different because Ellison Hubbard was a fifth-year senior. Very big name and well-respected guy for Colorado State. Very interesting times. Let's read another text. In my opinion, these transfer portal stories exist in all programs. No need to overreact to a couple of parents who are louder than the rest. Sorry it didn't work out for you, little Johnny. Carry on. I think that that's kind of how I'm viewing most of these. And you're also seeing that most of the parents of these from the offensive side of the ball. Where do they struggle the most? The offensive side of the ball. Like I said, dudes. I talked to a former D1 coach that said, I get parents that call and text me about playing time. These are D1 18 to 23 year olds that have mom and dad calling about playing time. So on that side, I don't like it. And again, these parents are citing that it's more than that, that it's much more than playing time. And I do agree. Holyoke saying that, I think I get you. I think I do kind of agree. I think there are times, and I think we're doing it. We're delving in to see if there's more to it than that. And maybe there is. Maybe more will come out. 41 minutes after the hour, 303, what happened to Brister's boy? I think he was upset. Wasn't he that with the playing time situation? Let's take a quick break. I tell you what, we need to do that. We're well over our time. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.